Hi, welcome back to SaaS Radio. I'm chatting today with James Kull, a colleague of mine from years back at AppStorm, where we used to run blogs about apps. We had, what was it? I was running Mac and web AppStorm when it all ended. And James, you were on, what was it, Android?
I think I was iPad, iPhone, and then I took over Android as well. And then
okay.
It all moved to one.
Right.
So it was good times, wasn't it, Matt?
It was. I was looking for your Twitter handle, actually, and that's why Android AppStorm was top of mind, because if you search for James Kull on Twitter, the old Android AppStorm Twitter profile is still around there, and it says, like, edited by @James_Kull, of all things.
That's the dying relic of that website.
That
my
poor
old
site.
Digital footprint.
Yeah. So James, you went on from AppStorm and ended up on the Salesforce team. And
yeah.
So today I'm chatting with James in a personal context. And as he mentioned, his views don't reflect those of Salesforce. But after all those years of working at AppStorm and the years since then as the SaaS ecosystem has grown, I wanted to bring him on the show to share his insights about Salesforce, especially as one of the older original SaaS apps on the market. So Salesforce's history and legacy of being one of the first SaaS apps, both as a web app and as a subscription-based service. And I'm wondering, do you have any insights that you've gleaned from being on the Salesforce team of how Salesforce basically has grown from being one of the original SaaS apps to being still a leader in the SaaS space today? And what lessons they would have that could sort of apply to today's newer web apps and SaaS?
Yeah, I mean, when we think about Salesforce, it was one of the first SaaS software providers. So it was founded back in 1999. And if we remember back to 1999, which seems like a very long time ago, that was when enterprise software came on CDs. So when you bought an enterprise package, it was often on-premise. You got a big FedEx package with 20 or 30 or even 100 CD-ROMs, and you had to install one after the other. And the concept of cloud, it was around the dot-com boom and then bust. And the concept of cloud was very new and it was very funky. And Salesforce was one of the first companies that actually monetized and pioneered the SaaS model of software delivery. And now if we look at, you know, if we think of the brands that we use, so for example, Gmail or G Suite, if we look at what Adobe's done with moving the Creative Suite over to SaaS and to a subscription-based model, and now every time I open up my phone and try and go on the App Store, a lot of apps now have shifted to that subscription-based model as well. So they're building,
right.
You know, they give an app out for free, and then there's a monthly or a yearly subscription whereby you get discounts for yearly subscriptions. And I always get the email to say, oh, your subscription's just been renewed, and I probably need to go through my subscriptions and clear some of the ones out, because I probably spent quite a lot of money I don't need. But, you know, back to seriousness, I mean, that's where companies want that flexibility. And it's a very interesting model, not just around the advantages for the business. So, for example, as we all know, what cloud brings. So, you know, a more secure environment, lower infrastructure costs, lower IT costs, lower total cost of ownership. But also it gives you the ability to benefit from the latest functionality. So as we know, with all of our SaaS products, we get updates pushed through us. Enterprise software upgrades used to be massive, long, complex projects that were risky, that were expensive, that often involved getting third parties in. And now that's all taken care of by the software provider. And for the business and also for the end user, it's a very nice experience to have. So Salesforce, by all means, is not the only company, as we know, out there, but it was one of the first ones to actually see the potential of that and shine as the no software company back in the days when software came, as I said, in a FedEx box full of CDs.
So do you see SaaS typically, I guess, more from a end user perspective? I know from the corporate perspective, I feel like, especially Adobe made this very clear from their earnings, where SaaS helped them even out the upgrade cycle, right? Where companies historically would have relied on the upgrade cycle of, say, Adobe would have launched Creative Suite 3, and then they would launch Creative Suite 5, And they, you know, say 2 years later, you've got this gap where maybe in the middle their revenue drops, and then they release the upgrade and boom, revenue's up again. SaaS moved that out. So from a corporate perspective, it made accounting and revenue much smoother. But from a user perspective, do you find customers tend to prefer that or not? Would they rather pay this large lump sum and just have the software, or does that make it better from an end user perspective as well of paying monthly?
Yeah, I mean, the end users get the experience of, you know, the SaaS software being delivered to them. So be that if it's accessible via a web browser, or be that whether it's accessible via a mobile device, or actually something like Adobe where, you know, it's downloaded and delivered to your computer. And now we're starting to see, you know, I saw that Steam is now starting to do streaming as well. And when you look at things like Google Stadia, and actually streaming of services to end user devices, given the fact that we've now got faster internet connections, given the fact that 4G and 5G is now becoming ubiquitous in many parts of the world. From an end user perspective, I don't think it makes a difference. It's really around the convenience to them. So I know as a, you know, as an Adobe user, I don't want to pay a big upfront cost for Photoshop. I mean, I don't know what the list price was for Photoshop, but it was several hundred dollars. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Now I pay in British pounds. I pay, I think it's about £10 a month for the photography, which is Photoshop and Lightroom, and I get it, and it's fantastic, and I get some cloud storage as well that I can use to edit my pictures. So from my perspective, it's very much, you know, I'm looking after my own money and I can even that cost out. And that's what businesses look at as well. It's not that massive upfront investment that, you know, that they would have to pay an awful lot of money, implement the software, and then obviously having to, you know, having to pay that off over several years, over that initial investment. They can spread that cost out over the contract life cycle. So be that, you know, an end consumer or a big business, you know, a small to medium business or one of, you know, a large enterprise business, it's a very appealing model for them.
I've joked before that it seems like for whatever reason, as companies grow, they inevitably end up seeming to use Salesforce. What do you think makes Salesforce so popular after all these years? The customization, the other companies use it, so you need to have stuff in the same format, just legacy, sort of from the same perspective as Microsoft Office, where what was the old saying? You don't get fired for buying IBM. What do you think drives that?
Yeah, and this is not meant to be a sales pitch for Salesforce, by the way.
Yeah,
I mentioned before, I'm here in a personal capacity. I think the interesting thing about Salesforce is the range of products they offer. So if we take, for example, what it started out of, which was Salesforce, as the name suggests, automation, CRM as many people call it. And then it's now branched out into lots of different areas. So customer service management, marketing analytics, B2B and B2C commerce, obviously things like data analytics, which is now the hot topic, artificial intelligence. I think it does offer that huge range of products. So as an enterprise customer, I can have the security and the safety of going with one vendor. And as we know, when we look at all tech vendors, they do offer that big suite of products that makes it easier to not only for enterprises to go and buy, but also to actually run alongside, because products just work with each other. You know, we know back in the days where we looked at companies which bought lots and lots of different services or products and had to integrate them, and we had this big spider's web of software all over the place. And, you know, as we know, when one thing goes down, then it breaks something down the line, but we don't know what it's broken. Having everything in one place is very, very easy. You know, I like to have my notes in one place. I like to have my emails in one place. I don't like to have emails scattered across different providers. That's what companies look at as well. And then if we look at the, you know, the acquisitions that Salesforce have made, MuleSoft, Tableau, and the biggest one recently, which is Slack, and how that has actually complemented and enhanced their existing product offering. So MuleSoft around bringing systems together and bringing data together, Tableau around visualizing that data and getting insights out of it. And obviously with this now new working from anywhere culture, and this, you know, working from home through Slack and actually being able to collaborate in real time with our colleagues. That's what's been really, really, really interesting to see. And around, I guess, connecting businesses with customers and businesses with citizens and residents or whoever the end user is. That's what makes, you know, any provider of CRM, and we know that Salesforce isn't the only one, is a very valuable offering, because it's about getting those insights from that customer. So as a business, I can go in and say, well, actually, what have my customers been doing, and how can I tailor my products, my services, to my customers to help me remain competitive in this market, which is obviously now in the case of reaching customers in different ways. So it's not just, if we take, for example, retail stores, it's not just about reaching our customers in physical stores. It's now reaching them online. It's now reaching them through mobile and through different methods rather than just the traditional face-to-face methods as well.
So a trend in newer SaaS apps, so you mentioned Slack before. Yeah. One of the big ways it was known to have grown was from sort of a grassroots adoption where one team would start using Slack. Say a marketing team needs to collaborate better on marketing projects. They start using Slack and they love it. And then they tell the dev team, hey guys, you've got to start using this. It's really good. And they start using it and it sort of spreads throughout the company virally almost, especially early on. Whereas it feels like Salesforce is often, I would have seen it more as a top-down adoption where essentially your IT sales team decided to pick this product and they said, hey, Salesforce is what we're going to use, go use it. Do you see that as being, basically, do you see teams sort of grounds for adopting Salesforce into their teams? Or perhaps is it, I guess, like you mentioned, where there's so many different Salesforce products that maybe it comes in a bit that way where one team starts using one of those products in the ecosystem and then it all comes together?
Yeah, and this, you know, obviously this is my view, is that Slack was a very interesting acquisition in terms of, first of all, it was the first freemium product that Salesforce actually acquired. So it does have this model of you pay, you know, the first 10,000 messages, I think, are free, and then after that, you pay. And you're right. I mean, anyone could go and download and set up a Slack workspace and invite people and start collaborating and sending GIFs and emojis and whatever to each other. But actually, that is, you know, that's the really nice thing about that kind of software, is that it's easy to use and also it's easy to explain. So if we look at, you know, if you look at something like Slack, if we look at something like Zoom, which have all become now household names, even, you know, Microsoft Teams, which is also starting to be used by personal customers, seeing as all of the video conferencing services have offered now this free tier because everyone's been using them so much. The user adoption is very easy because there's a very low barrier to entry. Anyone can download Slack, anyone can download Zoom and set up an account, whereas Salesforce, as you mentioned quite rightly, is that top-down approach. It's often an enterprise decision, or it could also be driven by relevant factors within the organization. So, for example, what are the problems that Salesforce is trying to solve? It's trying to solve a lack of unification, a lack of single view of customers, whereas Slack is very much, it could be five developers wanting to collaborate on a project. It could be, like you mentioned, the marketing team trying to collaborate around a campaign. And then that the reputation and that starts to spread organically within the organization to drive higher adoption. So I think it's a really interesting product because it has that staying value. And once people are starting to use Slack and get involved in it, they start to see the advantages that it offers. So, for example, the different plugins that you get, all the different extensions, and actually it starts to become this tool that people refer to, and that for me starts, you know, I now have to start muting things because it's kind of this Slack overdose. But it starts becoming something that people, you know, it is a sticky product. People start using it and start interacting with it, and it actually becomes part of people's workflow and people's day-to-day schedule.
It's interesting you mentioned that from sort of an acquisition perspective then of maybe Salesforce, even from the very early days, if you look back in Wayback Machine at Salesforce's 1999 website, there was no free plan. I believe it was 45, 55, something in that range. All along, it was this pricing has been fairly consistent. It's gone up a bit over time. But for the most part, there was never a free Salesforce. But then these new products that have come in. So I believe Quip may be an example there. I'm not sure if they had a freemium plan, but that was another product that's been acquired by Salesforce that my former team at Zapier had used. And so we'd use that just because it was an easy way to collaborate on documents. Mm-hmm. And then Salesforce acquired them. And so then I guess in a roundabout way, we became Salesforce customers.
Yes.
Through that, right? And that grounds up adoption ended up now, I guess, when a sales team in the company might be looking to adopt a CRM, it's possible Salesforce would make more sense then because they're already in the ecosystem.
That's right. I mean, anyone can, for example, we do offer a 30-day developer account. You know, anyone can sign up to a free Salesforce account with some sample data in there that people can go in and actually have a feel for what it looks like. But if there is a need for something, so there is a need to manage, you know, an opportunity or a need to manage a marketing campaign or a need to service customers better through, for example, better customer service management. We've all had the times when we've been frustrated, we've been given a reference number, we've logged an inquiry, we've logged a problem with a customer, with a company, and we've been given a reference number and we don't know, you know, we have that reference number and then when we ring up or when we interact with that company again, they have no record of what I've spoken to the previous advisor about. And that's that's one of those issues that we can solve. So actually the beauty of products like Salesforce and any CRM is really the flexibility in modeling different business processes. And that's where you're right, it does kind of have that top-down approach in terms of it is an enterprise decision. It's dictated from CIO, CTO level. What are the strategic products that this company is going to use? So for example, big enterprise tools, collaboration, CRM, ERP, all that kind of stuff. But also that change can also be driven bottom up. So it could be a small team of, let's say, marketeers who want a better way of managing their campaigns. So to see, you know, what their effectiveness on their campaigns is, how much money are we spending, what's the return on our investment for that? And that's where individual departments can make a business case to say, you know, we need a better tool here to help manage our marketing campaigns. We have, you know, currently we're spending X, we want to spend Y, and we want to track the effectiveness of that. So it can work both ways. It can go top down in terms of that adoption, but also the change within an organization can be driven from individual users rather than from, you know, the top down dictatoring approach.
Totally. So we are running up on our time limit here, but I wanted to get in one question more about Salesforce, the product itself. Is what's one of the things you find most exciting about Salesforce, a new feature or maybe a hidden feature you've discovered while working on the Salesforce team that most people would have maybe not seen so far?
There's a couple of areas that really interest me. So the first is something which released last year in collaboration with Amazon, which is Service Cloud Voice. This is really around real-time transcription and analysis of customer service conversations. So it can start to pick up things like sentiment. It can start to pick up things like tone in voice to say, well, actually, if that customer is quite angry, how do we ensure that customer stays retained as a customer and that they're given the right level of support and advice? And I think we've all been guilty of going off on one at a customer service agent when we're not getting what we want. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's done that. But Service Cloud Voice would analyze that and actually help to train advisors and ensure that, you know, angry customers are seen to in the right way, and they're not just given the same old script and the same old response. The other thing which we released very recently is something called MuleSoft Composer. And for me as the techie, this is actually quite interesting, but it's really a drag and drop way of creating integrations and automation. So you used to work for Zapier, right, Matt? It's very similar to that. I mean, Zapier is a fantastic tool for simple integration, for simple automation. It's perfect because it's very easy. It's very low code. It's non-techies can use it. And integration doesn't have to, you know, it sounds very technical, but it doesn't have to be. It's a very common requirement, but it doesn't have to be overtly technical. And if we can break down those barriers to that, then it makes it so much more accessible for people and so much easier and cheaper and quicker for businesses to build simple automations and simple integrations between systems. So MuleSoft Composer, really, really interesting product. I haven't yet had to play around with it myself, but I'm looking forward to it. I need to go and find a demo of it somewhere internally to have a go and play around with it.
Nice. Yeah, I may have to go sign up for a new trial with I probably already burned my email address signing up for a trial before, so I'll have to spin up a new one. And yeah.
So the email aliases work.
Viewing software.
That's right, yeah.
Well, James, thank you so much for coming on today. This has been awesome hearing your perspective on Salesforce and the ecosystem of software that fits under the Salesforce umbrella nowadays. If listeners would like to catch up with you and learn more about Salesforce, where's the best place to follow you right now?
So if I'm embarrassing that I have a Twitter handle. anyone can, if you go onto the Salesforce Trailblazer community, if you search for my name on there, James Cull, I'm on there. Feel free to drop me a post or ask me a question on there, and I'll be happy to pick up.
Nice. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Matt. And thank you for inviting me on the show today. It's great to catch up after all this time.
Absolutely. For everyone listening, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back next time. Bye.